One of those newer hymns we sang, Speak, Lord, if you remember, a little, I guess, family choir or chorus sang that at Aaron's wedding. So it reminds me, a couple were asking. Been praying for Johnny and Aaron. Keep doing it. We hope to see this granddaughter before she's married. Johnny got his visa, all well and good. They told them all along the way that it'd just be a little extra piece of paperwork to get the passport for the baby. Just have to bring the birth certificate and appear at the embassy. Yes, this is a real child. It's your child. Good. Get the passport in the mail very shortly thereafter. Except that with COVID backups, they're backed up for appointments to meet babies. And it might be June till they can meet the baby. So the goalpost keeps moving. So keep praying, and we're hanging on. I am looking into rowboats, and Jan and I are going to just paddle over and bring them ourselves. But I don't think that would work out too good for just about 200 reasons. But anyway, turn if you would to Revelation chapter 5. And while you're turning, one additional matter. We have been blessed much of late, a couple times with young people and once with a not-so-young adult. But tonight we welcome Hudson Bowman into Communicate membership. He's met with our session. Wasn't an easy task. About half the session was related to him, so he couldn't hide the truth. But even Derek voted to bring him in, so we're very happy for that. And Hudson, we welcome you into full membership in our church. Our prayers are with you as you grow in grace and go on with the Lord. I want to read tonight this chapter. We'll focus on a portion of it before we come to partake of the elements. But Revelation chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. We trust the Lord to bless the reading of his word. It's tempting to break out into, well, one of the choruses from the Messiah, but I think we've sung enough so far at least. But precious words indeed, and I want to come and focus something on this: worthy is the Lamb, and the sevenfold worthiness that is listed there. But before we come to those, there's a portion of this and an aspect of what we've read tonight that to me in some ways brings us really to the culmination of the whole of the plan of God. I want to be careful not to drift into the, I don't know if the first lecture that I gave to the men in the eschatology course was a lecture or a sermon. It was probably a little bit of both. But I went to the opening portion of Genesis. And we see in the original creation, for all the wonders in heaven and earth that God had made, that he made man in his own image. There was a uniqueness to man among the other creatures of God. And to man was given dominion over the rest of the works of God's hands. And it is upon this creature, this one that bore the likeness to God, that the wrath of Satan came. That really the cause of Satan's fall came. We've looked at and labored this point in years gone by, but that in the fall of Satan, it wasn't a desire, it wasn't even an imagination that he could usurp the place of the Creator. He knew himself to be a creature. He knew himself to be numbered among those creatures that God had made. But as glorious as Lucifer, the son of the morning, was, and you see all the workmanship, it's even spoken of the particular attributes that were given to him and his beauty. But it said he was found in Eden, the garden of God. And he spied there another creature, one that was made for a little while to be lower than the angels, but who was destined to rule over them. And he would not submit to that design. And all of his energies were then spent to bring about the fall of this creature. And we look in Psalm 8, and we've referenced that and gone to the second chapter of Hebrews and the tremendous use that is made. And you see there of another man. And the writer of Hebrews takes up that psalm and he speaks of man and he says, we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. And then he goes back to the psalm. Who was made a little while, or for a little while, lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man, ultimately that he might bring many sons to glory. And really I see much of the conclusion of that story here. Because as John in the visions on that Sabbath day on the Isle of Patmos is brought to this point in the Revelation, and we see that book that is sealed, it's written on the front side and the back and sealed with seven seals. There is a multitude of interpretations of what that book is. I think really only two of them, and really blending them together get really to the point. Some view it as a deed. Both in the Roman and Jewish culture, sometimes the deeds were thus rolled and sealed. But others as the unfolding of the purpose of God, really just an unrolling of redemptive history. Well, what is that? But the answer is yes. There's an inheritance. There is a destiny that is purposed for man. for the children of God. And yet, as it's put before him, John weeps. Because in a search of heaven and earth, there's none found worthy. There's none that has fulfilled that original covenant, if you will, that can loose the seals, that can fulfill and oversee and outwork the purposes of God and His creation. And as John weeps, one of the elders comes and says to him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." And John says, verse 6, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." The second man has prevailed. And not only has he prevailed that he might have the right to unfold all the purposes of God, he's prevailed by his death to bring us to his side, to bring us to glory. As I've said often in our struggling and wrestling with that event in the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus could have ascended to glory then, but he couldn't have taken us with him. He had to descend that mountain. He had to climb Calvary's mountain in order for us to go with him. And we can come, we can look over the annals of history. We can look to the best and the worst of men that we've ever known, and we can, with John, weep and say, "Where is there any hope for the purpose and plan of God?" But we're told, "Weep not. There is one that has prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root and offspring of David, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, the Lamb as it had been slain." Or as we read earlier in the book, "Who was dead and is alive." Death, showing the penalty of God's broken law, is paid. And alive again, that his atonement has been accepted. There is that divine vindication. There's that sovereign apologetic, if you will. God raised him from the dead. The testimony of the success of the work of Jesus in bringing his people to glory. And so we are not surprised when we read the refrain. I wish we had that. Well, we'll have it hopefully at some point soon. But 10,000 times 10,000 we read of in verse 11. But what are they singing? "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And then the sevenfold refrain: "To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The fullness of all these things, the power that is here that belongs to the Creator. It's He that hath made us, not we ourselves. The riches that belong to Him. And yet, what is one of those Christmas hymns we sing? I think at least we'll be singing here. "Thou who wast rich, for our sakes became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich." Wisdom. Colossians speaks of him and says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you think of the wisdom and the power of God and the gospel. What if we could speak reverently of some of the mysteries that are before us? What a surprise it must have been to Satan, who thinks he's won, that man is now cursed and he will be the most glorious of the creatures? God wasn't finished with man. He'd purposed from eternity to send the Son. The wisdom and power of the gospel. And yet this good news, we're told in Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You ever speak to someone of Christ and it just goes by them? It's folly. It doesn't do anything for them. Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Strength. You think of the determinate counsel of God. The plans of Satan, the designs of the ungodly, the designs of the rulers of the earth, Psalm 2, that take counsel together against the Lord. But His strength will prevail. He is stronger than the strong man. And then what we ascribe to Him, honor. Philippians speaks of that humiliation of Christ, and yet from the depths of that humiliation to the highest glory. As we ascribe to Him honor tonight, as we remember Him, you think of that servant song in Isaiah, Israel's penitential psalm. We esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was despised, not honored. And yet, well, even in that day, with gospel eyes, will Israel say, we see now. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. A very different spirit than we read this morning. Thou wast altogether born in sins, the Pharisees said, and dost thou teach us? What a day to render honor to the one who before our eyes were opened we esteemed not. And glory. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. You think of the glorious mystery of Christ's person. We're going to be connected with Him. He's taken into union with Himself our very nature. I'm tempted to try and quote the catechism, but I'll probably mess a few words and get my grades marked off. But He continues to be both God and man. One person, two natures, forever. And we ascribe glory to Him. There's a weightiness. There's a significance. There's a wonder. And you think of the things people ascribe glory to. The things people worship. Look in our culture. There's worship everywhere. People trying to find significance, weightiness, maybe a sense of community in something other than the good news of Jesus Christ. The only glorious news and serious enough message we have to hope in and one to worship. Is this one that's worthy to open the book? So let us ascribe glory to Him. And then last in this sevenfold list is blessing. One commentator has this to say, and I think says it well. The one gift which we who have nothing to give may give to Him who possesses all things. We render blessing to Him for the blessing He has bestowed upon us. Revelation 5, well, it brings a lot of big words. a lot of glorious phrases that are just stacked one upon another. But let us be numbered, that we wait for another day. And we wait for a day to sing His praises with unsinning hearts, but yet with redeemed and joyful hearts, we can join them and say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Because He's redeemed us to God, and He has prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals thereof. He has regained what was lost in the first man. He has more than regained it, as He has brought us into union, saving, covenantal union with Himself. Let us rejoice tonight and a worthy Savior. I'll ask you to take still the black hymnal this evening and turn to number 303. 303. And we'll sing the first two verses of "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted." If I'm looking correctly, this is the tune we know. Christy, if it's not, correct me. All right.
The last line is different.
The music in the last line?
Yes.
Should we sing the other one? Have you looked at this one?
It happened one time. Is that the one?
Maybe it is. Well, let's do the blue then. Sorry. I don't want us to get it off. We'll do the sword drill and see who's the fastest. In the blue hymnal. We'll remain seated as the bread is distributed, and we'll sing the first two stanzas together. Of our own hearts, and then we'll have a word of prayer and thanksgiving for the bread, and I'll read the words of institution before we partake together. But let's prayerfully consider the body of Jesus broken and given for us.
Heavenly Father, we tonight ask for the help of your Spirit. As we meditate through an emblem and remembering the body of Jesus that was broken for us, he who took to union with himself our nature was made in the likeness of sinful man, and yet himself was without sin, who in himself was worthy to open the book, who in himself was worthy to ascend to your right hand, but who himself, in concert with the Father and Spirit, purposed not to enter glory alone, but to bring many sons with him. Lord, tonight, as those who profess the name of Jesus, we come numbered among that company. Those 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands that sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Lord, you're worthy to receive praise from all of creation as Creator, as Sovereign, as God. And yet, in the work of redemption, Lord, we believe it a truth that we sing. The glories of your grace above your other wonders shine. What a surprise it must have been to the scheme of that father of lies that another man would come and would redeem from the fallen and murdered mass of humanity a people for the glory of his name. Lord, we praise you tonight for a worthy Savior. We ask for hearts that are filled with wonder, love, and praise. We ask that you'll receive our thanksgiving for this emblem and this means of remembering and meditating upon our Savior. We pray it in his worthy name. Amen. We read together the words of institution. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Well, I've closed the book and I need it again. Sorry. Number 150 still in the blue. We'll sing the remaining two stanzas while the bread, or the cup rather, is distributed. 150, stanza 3. silent prayer before we read the scriptures and partake of the cup together. Our Heavenly Father, it is among the many wonders and seeming paradoxes of our faith that we come with solemnity to this table, and well we should, to reverently, humbly, thankfully consider the death of our Savior. Lord, you've called upon us to remember this until he comes. And how can we remember that with levity? And yet we can remember it with joy mingled with our solemnity. Because he didn't stay dead. He was dead. Behold, he's alive forevermore. He's risen. And we rose with him. That he had us with him when he died. He had us with him when he was buried. He had us with him when he arose. He had us with him when he ascended to your right hand. And he will quite literally have us with him when he comes again in power and glory. We say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But Lord, take our thanks for the cup, as in partaking of it, we're mindful again of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all sin. We pray it in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. In the words of institution, again we read, after the same manner also he took the cup when he'd supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let me ask you now to take the black hymnal and turn to number 190. The spiritual, what wondrous love is this? Let us stand and sing it joyfully to cap off solemnity with joy. 190. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for the simplicity that is found in Jesus. Lord, we're grateful tonight for the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we look forward to that eternal day in which forever our infinite Savior, our infinite triune God, will display more of His glory, that we might be more enamored with Him and enjoy Him and all His renewed creation forever. Lord, in this vapor of life, and a vapor that is under the curse, give us the wisdom and grace we need to see beyond it. And help us to live and bear testimony to the celestial city, and rejoice that You've delivered us from the city of destruction. Lord, we're grateful for Your presence. We're grateful for these emblems to remind us of the work of our Savior. And we pray that You'll magnify Him in all our eyes. And now to Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.